When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another wonderful live stream here on the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. I am your host, Craig Borden, with the usual suspects, my friend Ken Alfred and my friend Jason Lyons. Fellas, how are you feeling outside of Toronto Blue Jays baseball right now would be the best question.
Outside of the Toronto Blue Jays baseball, pretty good. The weather's getting nicer here. We're in the double digits, which is really nice. So it's barbecue weather, shorts weather. And just everything outside the Jays is going really well.
There it is. So Jason, how are you doing, my friend?
Same for me. Weather's good. Baseball for the kids is going pretty hot and heavy. Love it. I went to the 21 Savage concert last night. If you ever want to make yourself feel really old, go to a concert with a number and a guy's name on it. I would say that in the lower bowl, other than me and this other poor mom that was behind me, we were the oldest by a long shot, but it was my son's birthday present. And so I hope I know they enjoyed it. I know they had fun and I kind of did too. Sorry. What?
What?
Wait, what? What? A bag of powder? Excellent. Excellent. Now I'm really dating myself. The Wayne's
World. I know.
So on that note, guys, I'm glad to hear everything outside the show is going wonderful for you, but we have a sour note that we get to talk to in Blue Jays baseball this evening, and it's the fact that since this last recording that we had last Thursday, we were in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. We've only won 2 games in that span, and things are looking abysmal. Yeah. On this offense, hence the reason tonight's episode is called Time to Wake Up the Bats. Hence, I don't know if you guys get the major league reference in that, but I'm literally ready to do the voodoo dance or whatever I need
Toronto
to do.
Needs a full live chicken. Needs a live chicken.
I need a live chicken. We need some rum. We need whatever it takes to get this offense going. But the questions revolving around this team, my friends, are what in the world is it really going to take? We have the talent. There is not a shortage of that in this lineup. We know what the younglings can do with Davis Schneider. Danny Jansen looks like he's figured this whole thing out. As of last week, he was probably our best hitter over the last 5 games. We know there's good things coming. But can they afford to really rest on their laurels here and just hope this offense is finally going to click? Or what is this catalyst or changeup that's going to shake this team loose is what we're going to focus on talking about this evening. The first topic I want to talk about is, regardless of that wonderful talent, guys, do you think the roster and the lineup that we are currently putting out there in this construction should be the way that we're going to continue to, field a 9 team this rest of the season? Is George Springer in the leadoff going to continue, or is this something that we moved somebody around? Vladdy in the 2 spot, is that really where we need him? those kind of wonderful things is what I want to kick this evening off talking about. And I'll look at you, Jason, as I can already see the wheels turning. What do you think about this lineup and how maybe some tinkering might help us solve this problem?
Well, I mean, I really feel like at this point right now, I mean, I think we're all pretty clear that the Vogelbach experience has not been whatever the Jays were hoping it was going to be. I think it's run its course, and good, bad, or indifferent. We need to either send him down or send him packing, one of the two. We've got a couple of studs, you know, that need to come up. Barger has done well while he's been up. You know, and then there's the looming specter of Joey Votto, who, you know, from everything that I'm hearing from my sources, he's been, you know, playing live baseball, not in games, but he's been taking live batting. He's been doing simulated games. He appears ready to go. And they're saying that one at bat, one home run was not an anomaly. He's hitting the ball hard. He's very strong. And I mean, if you were looking for something to jumpstart everything, I mean, that has to be up there as a consideration. You know, I feel like even, you know, and to use a hockey analogy, you don't really see, you know, your best players get sat in a hockey game, but when they do, it really makes an impact. And I mean, if you were to bring a few of the young guys up and maybe put Vladdy and you know, a few of those other guys that are just dragging ass right now on the bench, then maybe you would effectively see some change. I mean, last year, the Buffalo boys certainly lit some fires. And I mean, maybe it's time. I mean, what do we have to lose at this point right now? You lose three or four more on this, and you're really putting yourself out of contention. It seems ridiculous to say it right now, but it's true. I mean, it's very hard to come back from, you know, 10, 15 plus losses out of 20 games. And the pitching's been good. Like, I mean, we're letting down good pitching. 100%. Everything was pointing to good offense from this year. And I just don't know. I don't know where it's gone awry. Maybe getting too picky. Maybe everybody's trying to hit a homer. I know how you get tight when you've lost four or five in a row. But, I mean, something's got to change. Something's got to give.
Yep. Ken, what are you thinking as far as how the lineup is currently constructed?
I mean, we're going to have to start changing it up a little bit. I was even just joking. Okay, we'll start Kirk on the leadoff, and we'll have Vlad bag and cleanup. You know, just something, right? Because
hey, it's either that or new school baseball. Kirky in the front actually taking pitches is not the worst thing in the world.
No,
it's not about speed in the leadoff spot anymore. It's about a lot of different things than what we all grew up as baseball fans in this group here. So good point.
Absolutely. I mean, I think picking off Jason's point here is that are we just really trying to hit home runs off of every single at bat? I mean, what's wrong about putting the ball in play? It's like, I would rather us score like seven runs off of singles or bunts or even doubles versus, you know, hitting dingers, which don't be wrong. Fans love to see the home run from the Jays, but at this point, I don't know what it is. I feel like almost like I made the joke a few episodes ago. I'm like, are we swinging with the wrong side of the bat? I'm like, are we swinging with the chopstick now that I'm looking at how hard we're missing everything? So, I don't know.
Over the past week in Toronto Blue Jays baseball, Danny Jansen has been the biggest bat. He's been 308. He's had four hits, and three of those were home runs. So,
he's like my favorite catcher right now.
Exactly. And the only other person that's hitting out of that group has been Alejandro Kirk and Justin Turner. And Kirk's only been in two games, so the fact that he's been 429 over the last week is, I'll take that with a grain of salt, because, like I said, he only got into two games where Danny played in four of those. So, boys, I'm in the ballpark of, I don't care what it is at this point, we got to just start trying stuff on this offense. A 15-17 game, you know, record is not helping this team, as we are obviously into May. This is no longer April baseball. This is stuff that the toying around, the tooling, or whatever the hell you want. This is some level of accuracy of what this team is going to see over the next season. You don't have the small sample size mess anymore. You have regular everyday stuff going on. So what is this team going to look like? finally we got a hit out of Addison Barger. I can't believe it with how hard he was hitting the damn ball that it took that many games for him to get his first major league hit. And honestly, he's been hitting the ball hard even when he wasn't getting those hits. So I was expecting it to finally fall at some point. It just finally did. Bo Bichette cannot hit his way out of a brown paper bag right now. And you can see him having those troubles and struggles of really pressing to try and do something big. Same thing with Vladdy. Even Ernie Clement over five games didn't have a hit this past week, who has been on absolute fire. Davis Schneider batted 353 over the last week, which was another one of the wonderful good things that were going on. He's been rather hot. That's going to have to be something that continues. But I'm at that point where if Davis Schneider is the hottest bat in this lineup, guess what? You get to bat leadoff right now. It's those kind of things I'm curiously toying around. Is there any of those kind of ideas that you think would help the way literally construction level of this lineup? I'm getting to the point where put Bo back in the two spot, Vladdy back in cleanup, put JT in three, whatever it might take. I really think there needs to be something going on here as far as that level goes.
Yeah, I don't even mind. I wouldn't even mind. I mean, you've got a guy like Evan Kiermaier, who's a pretty seasoned vet. I think you could pop Kiermaier up into the top of the liney, and you know, even if Kenny was saying, get a bunt, get on base, just get base runners, just, you know, be annoying, get out there and steal bases. Like, I mean, it's for me, the hardest part to watch is that they already look like they're dragging their feet. They already look like their heads are down. They already look like the Chicago White Sox, you know, like, I mean, watch a White Sox game. It's really depressing.
Like, it's rough.
I know that they're getting paid well and they get the cool uniforms and all that stuff, but I mean, it's brutal. And
really cool uniforms?
The South Side ones are. They're pretty sweet. They look like a really badass softball team. But it's, you know, for me, it's one of those things where you would hope at this point that pride would start to take over and they would just get so, and baseball is a game where you can pride yourself out of a slump. One of my sons just did it. He was in a decently sized slump and he said to us before we went over to the island and they played four games. And before game one, he was like, I'm getting out of this today. And he did. And I mean, you just have to start to select better pitches, be more aggressive in the count. Like, I know one of the things that Mattingly's got them trying to do is sit back and try and work the counts into longer pitches and all the rest of it. But I mean, George Springer has made a career out of hitting the first pitch fastball out. And so maybe that's what they all need to do. Like, forget the take, just rake, just go at them and try. Hey, that's a good one. That could be a shirt. I'm going to pencil that down.
We had to put that on a card.
Yeah. Forget the take, rake. But, you know, like, you've got to start to, like, one of the things that we like to do is you've got to start to think middle. And the doubles will come. The triples will come. If you hit the ball hard enough into those two gaps, stuff will happen. And to your point on Barger, I mean, the guy was just massively unlucky. Like, I mean, he's crushing the ball. And, you know, like, you could see, like, the weight of the world come off his back when he finally got that hit. And it was great to see. But, you know, there's certainly some guys that are down in Buffalo right now that if you give them a wiggle, they'll come up. And I'm sure that they've got their wherewithal to come up and wear the front of that jersey with pride and try and get some wins.
Ben, what do you think about the roster as far as what our lineup looks like? Are you ready to start moving George Springer down to like the 5-6 spot because he hasn't been pushed in the leadoff spot or what?
You're going to have to because obviously what we're doing is not working, right? So we got to still, like you said, tinker. Like you said, it's not spring training anymore where you can kind of play around with a few things. Now, like you said, we are playing like for real now, right? Okay, the month of April is gone. All right, you got all the kinks out. Now it's really trying to knuckle down and really try because – you know, like you said, if this slump lasts longer than a few games longer, you're going to have a lot of angry fans that aren't angry already, but they'll even be more angry and they'll be calling for someone's head, right? Because this is not the expectation that we thought, right? Like when I see guys like Turner, Jantz, and Clement that are doing their part, even Varsha's doing their part, right? Like I was expecting this from them. And I think it's just that our core guys, the guys that we're paying a lot of money for, Vlad, Bo, and Spring are just not performing for whatever that reason is. And I don't know what. Is it just psychological? Did the pitching of the other teams figure out something that, okay, they found some holes in these guys, in our all-stars, and that's why they're just going to keep drilling it? Who knows?
Baseball is a game of adjustments. That's the unfortunate reality of it. So in the midst of making adjustments, that could be the player making an adjustment, or it could be Schneider having to turn around and revamp this lineup for what it looks like. I love Bo Bichette, and I'm one of the biggest fans of him and what he can do at the plate. He's pressing right now, and I can't say him in the cleanup spot has been the answer to that whole situation. We already knew what he could do in the two spot, and I was actually very intrigued by the fact that I was a little shocked that this roster this season was putting him in the four spot. I was a little shocked by that, and I think it is what it is. But at the end of the day, the last week, he's been .111. He's got two hits over the last five games. That doesn't spell that you're setting him up for the best of success. So at this point, maybe it is one of those things. He's just so used to the two spot. Maybe it's a psychological silly thing like that. Some players, I remember myself, I never liked batting cleanup even in softball. You know, it's one of those things. This is kind of how it is. Maybe it gets into somebody's head and just enough that says you have to do this in that role of being in that spot in the lineup. That is messing with him just enough. Put him back in the two spot. Put Vladdy in the four spot.
Whatever it might be. Yeah, it's, and I mean, I think that sort of the baseball thinking of your home run hitter is your four hitter is now gone. I mean, it's not something that teams are relying on. You're not putting your four guy as being your biggest bat. In fact, I would say probably your biggest bats might be the 2-3. And then the 5-6. You want small ball guys to get on and big ball guys to hit them home. And I mean, you know, if we had before the season, if I had said to you that Justin Turner was going to be leading the team, you know, in batting, I mean, everyone would have thought I was insane. But I mean, he.
Why were you picking a 39-40-year-old guy to be the best hitter on the team, right?
But he's
the guy leads the team in RBIs. He's right there in home runs, walks, batting average, everything.
Everything.
He has been the most consistent hitter this team has to offer, to your point, Jason.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and it's great for him. But if something doesn't happen soon, then I honestly feel like they're going to have to make a move. And the thing that bothers me is it may have to be a fairly significant piece, or they're going to have to look to move Clement or David Schneider or something like that to mortgage the future just because they're so bad right now. You know, and I'm still on the Vladdy train. He's not hot right now. He hasn't been hot for 2 years, but he's a persona. He brings butts into chairs.
But here's the wild thing about Vladdy. I don't know how close you've had to look at his stat line or not, but we just said to all things verbatim and whatnot that Justin Turner has been the best hitter on this team. And that's kind of a unanimous piece. When you look at the stat lines between Vlad and Justin Turner, they're very close to each other when you ignore certain things. Vladdy's been in 32 games. Turner's been in 29. When you look across the rest of that, that's a lot more at-bats that Vladdy's had. The number of hits are identical between those two gentlemen.
Yep, exactly the same.
Justin Turner has 8 doubles, 5 to Vladdy. 3 home runs for Vladdy, 4 for Justin Turner. Only a difference in 4 ribbies. The walks are in very good comparison for Vlad to 18 to 11. A lot more strikeouts for Vladdy. But the fact that those few differences in games boil down to a .298 batting average for JT and a .231 batting average for Vlad Jr. So as far as where the bar really is, it's very close to the two of there when you're looking at the other things, other than the fact that Vladdy literally has 121 plate appearances to Justin Turner's 94. So the batting average makes it look gaudily bad, correct? Yeah. But at the end of the day, Vladdy's right there in the league, the team leaders in hits, RBIs, all that kind of stuff. Where do you expect them to be? Have we seen those crazy numbers? No. The one that's more crazy to see is the fact that Bo Bichette is that next step behind those two gentlemen. And that's what's really hurting this offense. The fact that Vladdy is not being Vladdy and Bo is definitely not being Bo right now.
No.
I mean, even Biggio is batting better than Springer and Bichette at this point, which I never would have thought that would be the case.
Yeah, I know. One of the listeners that we have out there sent me an anonymous. And remember, put your name on your messages. Somebody sent me a message on Twitter that said, would I trade at this point right now, Bo Bichette and Ernie Clement for Gabby Moreno straight up? That deal, would I do it? And I had to really, really, really think about you know, my answer to that. And, you know, I, again, I'm the same as you. I'm a big Bo Bichette guy. I really like him. I like everything about him. He's never going to be your vocal leader or any of that other stuff. But I mean, I like his athleticism and I like him as a player, but you know, like if you could get a minor leaguer thrown in there from Arizona, would you guys consider that? Or is that too rich?
Right now it's the, like you said, do you just change it to break it and see what happens?
Yeah.
Right now the mantra is not working, right?
And baseball, let's get this clear. Baseball is notorious for not making trades during the season to try and improve their teams. They try and work from their squads that are underneath, and it very rarely works. And it's funny because the big trades very rarely work at the start either. You know, like if a guy gets traded and he's top 20 in the league and he goes to his new location and they're like, oh, here we go. And then it's like, you know, like it's so commonplace. And I feel like, you traded
Jack Parkman midseason. What the hell are you thinking?
What was it, Jay Buhner? Remember when they traded Jay Buhner? When the Mets traded Jay Buhner?
What were you thinking?
You know, it's one of those things that maybe what they need, Craig, to your point, is maybe they need somebody to go into the dugout and whip the Gatorade thing across the room and you know, break a few bats or, you know, just something to try and because if you're not going to make changes, if you're not going to make changes through trade, and you're not going to bring up one of the hottest hitters in minor league baseball right now, who's sitting in Buffalo just licking his chops to come up and hit major league pitching, then what are you going to do? Like, you can't just sit there with that goofy grin on your face, John Schneider. I'm talking directly to you because I know you big fan of the cast. And you can't just sit there on the dugout wall and hope things are going to get better. They don't appear to be making any kind of changes except Dalton Varsho. He's the only one that made changes. They seem to work. And, you know, he's struggling through them a little bit. But he's, again, he's a pretty solid bat. You know, do you want to put him in the one spot? I mean, why not?
It's not the worst idea.
No.
And to that point, Jason, you guys remember when we had our old friend that used to be the Bluefield Blue Jays announcer, Zach Helton, on this show, and the story that him and I actually, funny enough, shared when I happened to be down with him visiting in West Virginia, and the level of literally lighting fires under people's asses is where this story goes. So I'm going to, and anybody that missed that episode, I'm going to relay this story out. Grady Little, a manager that is famous for taking Pedro Martinez out of the 2002 play, or leaving him one extra inning on the mound in the 2002 playoffs against the New York Yankees, which ended up being the reason that the New York Yankees eventually ended up winning that game. And then the following year was the year that the Red Sox reversed the curse and all things were well. But that was not with Grady Little as the manager anymore. That was now Terry Francona with that same team at that point. Grady Little got his start as a manager in Major League, to his eventual path to Major League Baseball in Bluefield, West Virginia, for the, at the time, the Bluefield Orioles. He happened to be in the booth with Zach Helton and I on a trip up to go see the Cooperstown induction of Chipper Jones when I happened to be down in the booth with him that evening. And Grady Little was telling a wonderful story of when he was happening to be just getting his managerial career started with the Bluefield Orioles. The story goes is this. They started off like 0-15 for the season that year when he started. God awful. you know, just couldn't get anything going with pitching, hitting, any and all the above. So he took all the bats out of the bat rack that morning, walked out of the bullpen right before practice and lit the bats literally on fire and said, our streak dies here tonight. We're burning and the curse is reversed, kind of like thing. You know, exercise the demons.
Yep.
Whatever you got to do at that point. And I literally wonder if there's that like horrible gesture that is going to be the one thing that finally flips around this team. And I'm not saying we literally need to light things on fire for Major League Baseball players, but there is some level of shock and awe that sends a message with that kind of a gesture that will light a fire under veterans, rookies, indifferently alike, right? What is that thing that takes it? And we have enough veteran presence in this locker room between Mattingly, people like George Springer, any and all of the above. It just shocks me that that players only meeting thing hasn't happened or anything at this point going, hey, dudes, we need to shut the fuck up and get our crap together and move on. I think we're at that point where if they don't find a way to turn this script around, at least back to 500, because this team is now two games under 500, this is going to be a very damn long season for Blue Jays fans and the players on this roster. What do you guys think?
And bring back the home run jacket. Maybe that'll spark something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not the worst idea. Like Kent, I mean, you got to hit a home run to wear it first, though, Kenny. Though, so
yeah, I know. Find the button jacket. You can hit a button. You get to wear it when you get back.
Collectively, right now.
Oh, invisibelt, like I do sometimes. You know, so it's for me. I don't disagree with you. Like I don't know if you guys remember. There's a pretty famous Boston Red Sox game where Poppy, I think, was 0-for. He goes into the dugie and the bullpen phone pays the price for that. And they just watched, the team just watched Poppy go off on this phone. I mean, he took it to school. And then his next at bat, he had a three-run homer to win the game. I mean, sometimes you need, just like you said,
usually right? Sometimes get it going.
You know, Bo Jackson, you know, classically with his strikeout and breaks a bat over his head like this. And, you know, things like
one
that.
Over his head the one time.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's interesting what, you know, what kind of thing can inspire. I know, you know, like we talk a little bit about hockey every now and again here. And there was a point in the Vancouver Canucks season this year where things were starting to go a little bit south. And JT Miller, who's a really good vet, played with, you know, in Tampa. He's a great hockey player, but he's an angry man. And he went off on the team and he let the media knew he had done it. And he was throwing around garbage cans and Rick Tocchet just let him do it. And I mean, if you guys ever want to see a psychopath, go watch Rick Tocchet's fights when he played. Holy monkey. Like how that guy is as calm and cool as he is now, it blows my mind. But irregardless, it righted the ship. It made, you know, it got some of the players who were on the schneid off. And sometimes you just have to know that the guys that are running the boat are angry and but who's running the boat for the Jays? That's the difference between baseball and hockey. Like in hockey, you have a captain. So that captain or assistant captain bears the weight of that, where, you know, you can't just make your best players your captain. That doesn't work. You know, it has to be somebody with character. It has to be somebody that they all respect. Like, I mean, at this point right now, I figure that's Justin Turner, that's George Springer, right? Or maybe it's Edwin Encarnacion, right? Like maybe he has really to go snatch, though, you know, and get thrown out of a game, like do something that makes an impact that makes these guys think to themselves, I better start trying a little bit harder. Or, you know, I do take an extra 20 hits at BP, or maybe I do, you know, right. Maybe I do work on my shoulder drop, or maybe I learn how to bunt. I don't know, like whatever, like do
any
something.
And all the above.
Yes.
So to that point, I'm going to get to this piece in a minute, but I don't know why this popped into my head, Jason, and I'm going to preach this out for the movie viewer here that is anybody that's engulfed a bunch of baseball culture, like anybody in this group. Movie Bull Durham.
Yeah.
So there's a point in the movie that Kevin Costner is literally shaving. And the manager goes, I just don't know what to do with these kids. They don't know what to do. And then Kevin Costner literally says the quickest sentence ever. Scare them.
Yeah.
It's all he says. Then he goes, what do you mean? He goes, they're kids. Scare them. So the coach then yells at all the players to come into the shower. He grabs a bunch of baseball bats, starts throwing them all around the place. It calls it, and it's the famous lollygagger speech.
Yeah. Lollygag over there.
Lollygag yourself. Yeah. First
base. So good.
So, but to that point, it's an epic scene in baseball movie culture, but it really comes down to the same thing we're talking about. Who is the person that in this lineup, in this roster, around it with the coaches, who's the one that takes that step and literally calls everybody out a little bit? Because I do, you don't see it. You still see a lot of fun and whatnot going on in the sports feed, even when they're all clearly not having fun losing games in the last week. But it needs that catalyst. It needs that lighting of the fire under the asses. It needs something. And I think that's what the difference is between a decent coach and a great coach, is knowing when that balance piece is. And I'm not saying it has to be Schneider, but there's enough great voices. You mentioned a big one there that's in this locker room every day now with Edwin Encarnacion. You have Donnie Baseball. You have Schneider, who was a very good minor league coach that we're waiting to see if he actually can hang as a major league coach here after his second full season that where he's in currently. But it's that next piece that we're waiting for. And if this team can't get something done here in the near future, I'm very, very curious what this trade deadline is really going to look like, to your point, Jason. Because I literally think this could be a wholesale.
Yeah, it could be a tire fire.
Keep pitching and try to figure everything else out.
Yeah.
Because the pitching's locked up very efficiently.
They've got some really expensive pieces that they have to deal with. Alek Manoah, you know, like if – and I'm you know, Vladdy is Vladdy. Vladdy's got his deal. There's guys who have deals. There's guys who you know, will probably never move. But we also have to start to consider, I think, some of those people that are movable parts. And – really start to look at maximizing what we can get, because we're going to hit a point in a couple of weeks here, a month here, where if they haven't righted the ship, 500 baseball is not good enough. 500 baseball doesn't get you into the playoffs. I mean, it's you have to be, you know, 12, 15 games above 500, 10 games above 500 to even be competing. I mean, based on the division that they're in, if they were in one of the garbage divisions around, I mean, 500 can maybe get you squeaked in. But we're not in that division.
We're in first place.
Yes, yeah. We don't have that luxury. I mean, it's one of those things where, like you were saying, if you don't get on it now, if you don't start to push these players past where they are right now and start to make them think to themselves, you know what, guys, you're going to hit a point here where the season is not savable. And, you know, when you look at the American League East, I mean, it's funny because it's always been sort of the group of death. But when you look at the, you know, like the Orioles have 20 wins, the Yankees have 20, the Red Sox have 18, the Jays have 15, the Rays have 14. I mean, that's really not that much of a gap at this point right now. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 6 points
between game difference.
It's a 1 weekend difference. You go, if you win a series and one of the Yankees or Orioles lose, you rocket yourself right up into the top. And I think what the Jays need to do is they need to take a page from the Boston Red Sox, who have not really given a crap for the last couple of years. And they seem to be getting results now from a real mixed bag of a team. They've got decent pitching that they get support from. They've got 4 or 5 kids that they've let grown up in the system and now are hitting well and playing well. You know, they're not great. They're not going to win the World Series, but they're also not going to be dogging. They're not dogging it right now. They're in games. They're winning games. They're competitive. Where I feel like the last 2 weeks for the Jays have been non-competitive.
So speaking of the – so before I go to the next topic, actually, I want to make sure I pitch this ball for Ken here to hit. I had a good question, and I almost forgot to ask it. So, Ken, we just mentioned all these catalyst things. I am the very, very firm believer that this team, as it's constructed,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is an actual very good baseball team. So are you in the category right now that the Blue Jays can improve, or are you gloom and doom like some Blue Jays fans are literally seeing, literally crying their eyes out in Major League Baseball fun on Twitter right lately? So what are you thinking as far as where this team can go with what we have at the moment?
I think at this point, right, we're just going through a rut. Like you said, we have the pieces there. And for some reason, they're just not clicking altogether. But I'm not a gloom and doom guy. I've been eternally optimistic, as sometimes we may joke about it for a lot of things. But I still believe in the team is a competitive team, right? I just, like you think, we just need that spark that's going to be. Whether that's a Blue Jay getting beaned or something like that intentionally by a pitcher that just gets them all riled up, maybe it's something like that. I don't know, right? But I'm not going to give up on them yet at this point as much. It would be tough if we were like, let's say where we are right now, a month later, we haven't won a single game. I might hint the gloom and doom just a little bit.
Yeah. So correct me if I'm wrong, Kenny, because last year we had the pleasure of soaking in a Blue Jays game together, and Cole Reagans was on the mound for the Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
Wasn't that the same pitcher that was on the mound when you were there the other night?
Yep. Unfortunately, it was.
I thought so.
Just for the listeners, I was at the game yesterday. I didn't stay for the whole game. We left that after about the seventh inning, just for the fact that, okay, it started off, like you said, like we talked about the pitching before. Our pitching was actually pretty decent for like the first five innings. Bassett was actually doing really well. It was almost like a battle of the no hitters until the only hit we had at the time was just Vlad hitting a single, right? And then sixth inning came. Something happened. Bassett gave up three runs. And by the seventh inning, we were down like 3-0. I thought, okay, I think I'm gonna start to walk. As soon as I leave, I kid you not, the Jays homer. Right. So I'm like, okay. I already left the Sky Dome. All right, we'll see what happens. And then I'm on the GO train coming back home, and I just looked at my phone just to see. I wonder if I'm missing anything. Yep. Nope, not missing anything at all.
Not so much. Yeah, and on that point, I know you have the commute to the fun, so I know that's why you were actually on your way out, not so much the fact that the game was horrible. I'm sure that didn't help any, but...
Well, I'll just tell you this, though. If the Jays don't play Kansas City for the rest of the season, I'd be okay.
I think a lot of people feel like that, Kenny.
Correct. And to that point, I don't know what Fountain of Youth or whatever the hell the Kansas City dugout was found, but they have found a way to really take that next step this season, and Major League Baseball better be on notice that Kansas City Royals this season might be a very Tampa Bay Rays-ish team, period. That they're going to
find a real good dark horse pick. I'm not endorsing gambling in any way, but if you had 50 bucks lying around, it might be fun to throw it on the Royals and see what happens. They've got to be going off.
Well, that's when I bring up, oh, by the way, tonight we're sponsored by FanDuel.
By Bet365. We got nothing. DraftKings. If we were sponsored by Bet365, every 4 seconds a logo would come up in front of our faces. Like, gamble! Gamble!
Yeah, why aren't we on that yet? That's right. We're not. We're only so good at shameless self-promoting. Yeah,
we're not shills yet. Total shills.
There's that whole thing of integrity that I like not having an advertisement every 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So anyways, to that point, boys, there is possibly some light at the end of the tunnel here. It is official nearly that Our friends Eric Troyden at jaysjournal.com have reposted the fact that Shai Davidi has said Nathan Lucas is actually on his way to start on Friday evening. This is hot off the presses. So that is tweak number one. They haven't not announced the counter move, and they probably will not state that until probably an hour before the game tomorrow. The next thing, I don't know if you all saw what Alec Manoa did to the Indianapolis Indians the other night on April 30th, but Alec Manoa looked like Alec Manoa. 95-mile-an-hour sinkers. He only gave up two hits over six innings to a very talented minor league team, and he struck out 12 in those six innings. That is the best outing we've seen from Alec Manoa in the minor leagues this season and in a long time. I don't want to put all my eggs in that basket, but we did see Yayrod go down to the IL this past week, and the Blue Jays are desperate a little bit for that fifth spot to once again find somebody to fill in the innings. I have been intrigued with Yayrod. I love his talent. I don't know what caused the injury or anything, and we talked about some of those fun things with the pitch clock and what's been doing the pitchers over the last episodes and whatnot, but I'm curious. I want to know what Alec Manoa can do again, if he's going to have the possibility of being able to do that to a very talented young lineup for the Indianapolis Indians, and see what that looks like at the major league level. And I'd be shocked if they have anybody else coming for that fifth spot in the near future other than Alec Manoa. Ken, are you ready for the revenge tour?
I would like to see him. I would like to see him with that chip on his shoulder. I want to see the Manoa that just didn't give you know what, and just, you know, almost like, not say he didn't respect the hitters too much, and I mean that in a good way, that he just did his thing as opposed to just thinking about, okay, how do I have to pitch to this person or that person. It's like, no, I'm going to dictate what I'm going to be throwing to you. I want that. Yeah. I want that angry Manoa. It's almost like that.
Manoa, as I get the clips going here while we continue to talk, but I don't know if you guys saw this footage, but this was very impressive to see from Alec Manoa once again. And the ball's finally moving and fast. So I'm very intrigued to see where this could go. If he's finally rediscovered any level of that, he's too young to be Ricky Romero version 2. It's, you know, that's the thing that kills me the most about Manoa. He's got the arm to still throw 95 miles an hour. As you see him throw 94 mile an hour sinker there and just look like punchies there from the All-Star game a few years ago. So we'll see. I'm intrigued, but I'd be shocked if he's not the guy that gets called up for Yayrod's spot when it comes around here in a couple of days. They haven't announced anything yet. But we know Nathan Lucas is en route. Do you think that Manoa is the one that's going to probably fill this next spot, Jason?
How about this, Craig? I struck out six kids at BP the other day, so I think maybe I should be called up. You want my honest opinion? My honest opinion is
that Jason's over here like scratching.
they should bring up Mason Flaherty. Mason Flaherty is a bit of a diamond in the rough down there for Buffalo. He's a good, strong pitcher. He's had already had a number of good outings. He's a strong lefty, throws hard. I really like him. And I mean, even if you're starting to, and I'm not even going to try and say is I love him to death, but I'm not even going to try and pronounce his last name. But Luis Quinones, that sounds right. You know, he's got four wins down there as well. But I like the lefty. I like the availability of bringing up a lefty. So, my vote and what I would hope is the Jays, again, like we've been talking about, are willing to try something, and why not give a guy like Mason Flaherty a try? He's got a good ERA. He's played 9 games. He's got 3 wins. He looks like the kind of pitcher that you want, to come up,
I agree with you, Jason, wholeheartedly, and I would love to let the kids play. I really would. I think right now where the Blue Jays roster is constructed and what they can do, I'm not seeing them want to shuffle the 40-man roster to get somebody like Katonis on the roster. Alec Manoah is already on the 40-man roster.
It's true.
Leveraging point, unfortunately, for Manoah versus that is I do think that kid's got wonderful talent that you were just mentioning, and I'm really interested in him. I'm actually looking forward to him when seeing him hopefully pitch against the Rochester Red Wings here in a few weeks. But to that point, I love the kid. I think he's got great stuff, and four wins does stand out on that stat sheet.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
and who knows? I mean, but, you know what? At this point right now, let's be honest. I mean, if they bring Manoah up and he craps the bed again, I mean, what's the worst that happens? He just never comes back up again? I mean,
yeah, why not? Back down on the Buffalo roster again.
Bring him up, let him pitch three innings, and if he gets hammered, he gets hammered. I mean, if he does well, he does well. I mean, like you said, he has the stuff. He has incredible stuff, and I don't know where it goes right now when he gets in a major league, you know, in that Blue Jays uniform. But it's you know,
if you look at the depth, I just really don't see them. The other gentleman that I would say that's on the 40-man roster that has a good shot at being the quote unquote fifth starter, especially after his spring training, is Paolo Espino. But I don't see them wanting to do anything with him other than be the long guy out of the bullpen. I would think they would rather lean on Manoah's quote unquote upside and bring him up to be that fifth starter. But we'll see.
We're often right.
It's a little rough looking at the rest of the gang that's down there with the quote unquote higher levels of innings pitched in the minor leagues right now for the Buffalo Bisons. Chad Dallas, who had a great spring, is 0-1 with 7.04 ERA in 23 innings. Andrew Brash is 1-0 with a 4.82 in 18.2 innings. Manoah's got a 6.5 in 18, but I literally just laid out some level of crazy that finally looked like him healthy and throwing the ball properly. You had mentioned Luis Cunez, that's 4-0 with a 4.58 ERA. That's the one thing that scares me, but it's also only over 17 innings, so take it with a grain of salt, the ERA where it is. And then Espino, being the other gentleman that's got the most starts, and you got Paxton Schultz is the only other gentleman that's had a good amount of starts.
If you look at
the guy with the most upsides, he's probably one of the ones.
Yeah, I remember him as a Vancouver Canadian. He was a good pitcher. He was fun to watch.
Yes, and the only other option really is thinking that you might be able to get enough length out of Brandon Little, who's currently sitting in our bullpen, and I really wouldn't think that's probably where you want to go. But I don't know. Maybe they just go with a bullpen day, but I really would be shocked if we don't see Manoah in a couple of days here. So, 'tis what it is.
Yep.
At that point, gentlemen, there's enough people injured right now. Go ahead, try it. See what happens.
And they're not, you're not exactly putting the season in peril to give it one shot. Like, you know, we've already tanked the last 2 weeks, you know, at least get them in there. You know, I mean, and keep in mind, like the Jays are playing Washington, who are basically the exact same team as them right now. Very similar record, very similar issues, you know, where their really good guys aren't being their really good guys. And then you've got Minnesota after that, who is the divisions have flipped, and, you know, they're 17-3 and they're tied for second last in their division. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Cleveland has got better. KC has got better. Detroit is so surprising. It's not even funny, but, you know, it's stuff like that where maybe the Twins come in and take the Jays lightly because they haven't been good lately and you can snipe a couple of wins. I'm hoping that the Nationals, even though they beat the Rangers pretty bad yesterday, I'm hoping that they, again, same thing. I mean, this is a good opportunity for the Jays if teams are going to take them lightly to try and right the ship, you know, get off the schneid, for lack of a better term, and you know, really start to get some guys going. And whatever voodoo it takes, I'm all for it. The hats for bats, you know, maybe they should all dye their hair blonde.
I was saying they get the Don Mattingly sideburn cut for all of them.
Yeah, like the big high. Or they all go mustaches. That'd be pretty funny. Can you imagine Vladdy with a big thick soup strainer.
Might be quasi happy anyway. Has anybody else seen what Danny Jansen's done with his mustache lately?
Danny Jansen,
he's hitting the ball like a monster.
Danny Jansen looks like a guy they found at a truck stop that was hitchhiking with a stick, with a bag, you know, like with a handkerchief bag on it. Like cowboy boots and shorts and a Winona Judd t-shirt on. You know, like just brutal.
Oh, that's too funny. But to that point, maybe there's something that's stupid. Like I said, it's amazing what the middle of the silly things and camaraderie would actually do for a baseball team and go from there. But to that point, maybe that's the silly thing maybe it's not a yelling thing like we were talking about earlier. Maybe it's literally just something that stupid that unites this unit and gets it all moving in the right direction. But never know. I really do. But you mentioned we got the Nats. So if we don't beat Patrick Corbin, I think there's something seriously wrong with this offense. Yep. But maybe I'm out of my damn mind. You guys tell me. As I look around my pen as I dropped it.
I mean, this is a series that they have to at least get two out of. You know, it's not
to get a series win.
Yeah, it's not an option at this point. You have to beat a team like Washington, and you have to take that, put it in the bank, you know, move on. It's interesting because, you know, it's when you see two teams at this point in the year who you didn't expect. I don't think anyone expected the Nationals or the Jays to be in the situation that they're both in, but here we are, aren't we? So it's, you know,
and the biggest thing they need to do urgently is this road trip is going to take them to Philly over the next week.
Yeah.
You need to beat up on the Washington Nationals, get some confidence before you go to Citizens Bank in Philadelphia and hope and pray that you're going to get something against that lineup that is red hot.
Yeah. Right, so hot right now.
It makes Hansel so hot right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he is an ambi-turner though. So.
I think the scarier thing about the Phillies right now, as far as looking at how that roster is constructed and everything, this is a team right now that's destroying pitching with Bryce Harper doing nothing.
Yeah, he's gonna explode one of these days, and I don't want to be around when that happens.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah,
it didn't work out so much for my home run card out of my Tops the other day. I was like, oh, Bryce Harper, no problem, he'll home run against the White Sox. Whoops.
Yeah. Whoops indeed.
I don't know if you guys have seen those cards or not, but see if I can find it really quick because I said it somewhere. Just to talk silly. These cards are a home run challenge card. You go online with Tops, pull the card number off the back, kind of like a QR code like level thing, and you enter a day that you pick for that gentleman to hit a home run. And you get a special limited edition card if they hit a home run that day.
That's awesome.
Unfortunately, like I said, on 420, I was hoping to get a little high and get a home run with Bryce Harper. And it didn't happen so much. So no, so much fun. But it's going to happen. Bryce Harper's too good of a baseball player to keep doing what he's currently doing at the plate. And same thing with what we keep talking about with Vladdy, Bo, all these guys.
Yeah,
this is basement we're in right now. I still think, fellas, we literally have won three of our last seven, or three, we're 3-7 over our last 10 games. It does not help to be that way, obviously, but it is the bottom basement this team I think ever can be. And I think we can only get better from here, but we got to start by beating up on somebody like the Washington Nationals
or the White Sox.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the White Sox.
And the White Sox.
So to that point, we have tomorrow we have Kikuchi versus Corbin, as I mentioned. Patrick Corbin is having a very rough start this season with a 6.82 ERA over 31 innings. And he hasn't won a game and he's lost three. So as I mentioned, the Blue Jays need to beat up on him. But with the way that our offense has been going, I seriously worry this might be the first win that Patrick Corbin gets this season.
Oh, my God. But
I really hope not. And then we have the next day, we have Gausman's versus Joe Irving, who's been a young, talented pitcher. But hasn't put it all together. And then the same thing the following day on Sunday, we're going to get whoever, Alec Manoa, probably, facing Mackenzie Gore, who at one time was the top prospect for the San Diego Padres. Like I said, at one point.
Yeah, he's had a very Manoic fall.
A zing.
He really has.
There's lots of guys that have. It'd be interesting to watch the two of those go at it, though. You know, two guys were, I mean, certainly that Gore didn't make the all-star game, but, you know, it's.
But he's having a season that looks like that so far at 2-3 with his record, but a 3.19 ERA in 31 innings is looking like maybe he finally figured something out. So who knows?
Well, what you guys were just talking about there was that it just reminded me of that episode of South Park where the boys wanted to get out of being they wanted to stop playing baseball, so they purposely tried to throw the game. And then the other team said, "Well, we don't want to play either." So they tried to throw the game at each other. It's like, what are we supposed to do?
Just
throw and see what happens. Swing at whatever pitch, and it turned into an actual baseball game. So that's what it looks like when you talk about Manoa. And
these guys actually practiced at being bad.
Yeah.
That's how it was, right?
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But like I said, it's just, I can't believe that this offense is doing what it's doing. And I really, really hope this is the worst we can get as Blue Jays fans. There's too much talent, I think, in this lineup for Davis Schneider and Justin Turner to be the best, only better hitters in this lineup.
Yeah.
So in the midst of that whole thing, I hope it gets better. Yeah. So boys, that's what I got for tonight as we're trying to wrap up here a little bit. Is there anything you two gentlemen would like to talk about before we do stupid shenanigans to end the show and do our picks a click?
All good, baby.
I'm good.
All good, baby. Kenny's all good. So last week, Kenny, we've been using the default fund for you the last few weeks because you had your birthday. So happy birthday. And a few other family things going on. The default thing has been the worst everyday player is the one that you get for your pick to click if you miss a show. This is including the guest spot, which we haven't had. But the guest spot has been having some really good luck over the last week with Dalton Varshow being red hot for 2 weeks. They are currently beating all of us with two wins. Last week, the guest spot continued to carry over Dalton Varshow because they won again. We gave you Kevin Biggio because he was the roughest gentleman on the lineup as far as batting average is concerned. Jason, you picked Ernie Clement, who, like I mentioned, played in a whole stellar two games. And I somehow picked Danny Jansen, who had a really good week. So I think I kind of won.
No, you won. You won that one. No, kind of. You win that one.
Okay. So on that note, as the host of this fun horribleness, because you guys don't ever want to host, I never let myself actually pick. So, Ken, seeing you're making your triumphant return this evening, I'm going to let you take the first pick in Toronto Blue Jays fun for the next week. Like I mentioned, we are playing the Washington Nationals and we are playing the Philadelphia Phillies over the next week. Who is going to be the best performer for you over the next week, my friend?
I just have a feeling. You know what? I'm just going to go with Vlad on this one. I just think that, he's been, not hitting the greatest, and I think he just needs play a bad team that hopefully can get his confidence back. So I'm going to probably see if I can do it this time.
So here's Kenny hoping Vladdy gets vicious. So Mr. Lions, what are you thinking? How are you doing?
I'm going with the three scariest letters in Blue Jay history right now. IKF. Iser.
I love Kaiser, the RKO reference, Pfizer. Sir.
Okay. Donkey Falefa, whatever. Exactly.
He might be closer to RK Bro, but that's besides the
point. You know what? Somebody should give somebody an RKO. Yeah. I saw a really hilarious one after a lacrosse goal.
Yeah.
Glorious.
I think I've seen that clip. So that kid comes out of nowhere, gives the kid the RKO. And you never know when it's going to strike. That's the beautiful fun to it.
You know what? I think they did, but you'll never know until you get RKO'd.
That's true.
To that point, I'm even fine, make the RKO something stupid like that. Yeah, we were talking about a dumb catalyst. Maybe it's something that simple. just having something like that to rally around, or okay, great, we don't have the home run jacket. You present somebody with the, you know, because the WWE has went baseball license with the championship belts, have the freaking Blue Jay belt that they all, you know, go Stone Cold with or something like that. At
I
the
want
end.
Like a hilarious. Luchador mask. I think a luchador mask could be sweet. You walk out.
And yeah. Yeah,
especially when there's no Spanish culture on this yeah. team. That would be a very, very relevant. But to that point, I think they need something. There's got to be a unifying factor here. That's the thing that Vladdy. Honestly is killing me.
I'll call Vladdy when we get off the show here and I'll let him know.
There we go.
There it is. So I guess it's now my pick, as we'll do the guest thing here in a moment. Well, actually, I better make sure that we give the guest spot. Ironically, after 2 weeks of soaring wins with the guest spot, the worst player in Blue Jays baseball over the last week was, unironically, Dalton Varsho. So the guest spot is going to get saddled for the fourth week in a row with Dalton Varsho.
All right.
From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, right? Yeah. So I'm going to ride catching. I really do. I picked Jansen last week. I wonder if one of those silly things that might happen over the next week is Kirk is the guy that all of a sudden steals some of these DH spots and gets enough at-bats. I've liked what I've seen from Kirky in a few at-bats this past week, and I think those little bits of rest have been, yeah, I was going there next, have been very helpful on that whole thing. And yes, it actually is very Justin Turner-like that I have plenty of red in my actual beard. Thank you, Jason, for putting me on blast from Mr. Hexter.
Woo!
Well, Blue Jays fans, if you haven't noticed, like I mentioned, get in the chat. We're here to talk. It's that stupid simple. We're here to have fun and goof around and talk Blue Jays baseball. So on that note of having fun, I mentioned Bull Durham and the stupid fun with the lollygagger speech earlier in this show. I thought it'd be fun to actually literally show the lighting of the fire that turned a minor league baseball team into a monster winning machine after the weirdest of movie fun that I can say again. And like I said, I apologize that there's no audio in this point, but as I mentioned to you guys earlier, the manager comes to the veteran, Kevin Costner, starts whining about, I don't know what to do with these kids. And this is where he's, like I said, shaving and just goes, scare them. That's all he says.
Here we go. You just said it.
He's there. He is saying it right now. And he's like, if you see the light bulb.
If you guys get a chance, the listeners, everybody out there, there's a version of this that the Savannah Bananas did. And it is so funny.
Hysterical.
Because they don't know why he's mad. Because they realize that, you know, they're like the Harlem Globetrotters. And he keeps referring to the other manager. Like he keeps asking him questions like the other players aren't there. And it's really, the whole thing is really funny. It's a good watch, you know, and this is, you're right. This is a really funny, like just the whole thing.
You lollygag your way on the field. You lollygag your way to first. You know what that makes you? Tell them, Lonnie. Yeah. Lollygaggers. They have no idea what to do at this. Just, like I said, it's the stupidest of things. It's silly. It's everything from the fact that he comes and makes them all run into the shower as a team, even the guys that were in the locker room getting ready to leave, and then he takes all the bats, throws them all in there, and gets everybody's attention.
It's good times.
There's actually some really, if you have not had the opportunity, you are a big baseball fan, to, if you have not seen the movie Bull Durham, we'll bring this back up again at some point in the future. Yeah.
How's the guy in the tub keeping a straight face?
No idea.
I just think the best part about this whole thing is Kevin Costner isn't even seen in that whole scene.
He's not even there. He doesn't want to do it.
But it is a great minor league baseball story of just the shenanigans that go around a minor league baseball team and trying to find your way to the majors. Tim Robbins, Kevin Costner, and Susan Sarandon are some of the best baseball characters in any baseball movie that you ever see. And the fun about that movie is that was actually on this show in a previous off-season episode that won the best baseball movie on this show. That's over Sandlot. That's over Moneyball. If you want to be that weird guy that says Pride of the Yankees is your favorite freaking baseball movie because you're a freaking Yankee fan, whatever it might be. But to that point, there has been a lot of great baseball movies. So that is saying a statement and a stamp of approval by the team that was collected during this show over the offseason a few years ago to say that that was the one that won the best baseball movie. So on that note, boys, that was a fun one, the way to end the show. I always enjoyed that movie and I highly recommend it, and it's not a kid's movie, so make sure don't do that one.
Yeah.
At least teenagers.
Yeah,
probably.
So on that note, anything else, gentlemen?
Because we won't do a show before it gets there. Happy birthday to my twin boys. They are 13 on Tuesday, Jet and Carter. Their baseball team is absolutely scorching earth right now. We played a team last night that went to Nationals a couple of years ago, and I guess they were pretty fat and sassy when they hit a home run in the first inning. We beat them 19-3, and nice. one of the kids on our team, Zach Vasilev. Hopefully, Zach, you check this out. Zach went 5-for-5. He hit 2 homers lefty and 1 homer righty. So there, you stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Wow.
There it is.
Home run derby there.
Yeah. The homer dome.
Kenny, your kid's got to have getting ready for the Little League in the near future, right?
Yep, getting ready soon. I'll be coaching again. Wasn't planning on coming back as a coach, but a lot of the parents are allowed to write down a coach that they would like.
They need you.
Their kid to be in, and they picked me. So
they need you, Kenny. All right.
Dream on. I'll do it.
I don't know if I'm going to be throwing some bats around if our team is losing, because, you know, they'll be, 10 years old, so I don't know if that really makes much sense.
I'll do it. It works.
Wally gagging.
Yeah, they're kids. They get scared way easier.
Well, just don't light anything on fire like the other story I told earlier in the show, and you're going to be completely fine as a parental unit. So on that note, Blue Jays fans, thank you very, very much for listening to us. We saw plenty of you come into the chat again. Please be more vocal, like the one that called out my red fire beard, and we'll have some more fun with all of you on our Jay Bird Watching podcast, which our slogan for this show has always been, we are the barroom chat for Toronto Blue Jays fans. And if you haven't noticed and you haven't found your way to certain bars, maybe in the Vancouver area, you might start seeing some of our coasters around, depending on how much Jason Lyons has gotten out to the public. But we will keep sending those to... Yeah, we will keep getting those out toward a bar near you. If you get it, scan it, send it some pictures. We'll have some fun with you. Maybe we'll send you an actual, you know, extra gift. And if you start posting some of those things on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it might be, to our social media stuff, talk to us. We're here to be the Blue Jays chat, like I mentioned. Side note, if you want to make sure you tune in and make sure you get your TikTok follow in, especially you stateside people, before the 9 months go away, that TikTok might vanish. And we'll see what happens. But on that note, get into our TikTok. We are going to have our baseball card opening like we do every Friday evening in the 6 to 7 o'clock ballpark. It depends on when I get out of work. And we are going to give away our first prize of the month. Like I said, every Friday, first Friday of the month, we are going to have a prize drawing with this wonderful wheel behind me that we're going to see what kind of fun we give out and see where we can send it. If you're in the U.S. or Canada and you're 18 years of age, I will be sending that out. We have already sent out 4 or 5 winners. I can't remember which. I think it was 5 at this point. But we're going to get you in. And the only thing you need to do to enter is click that follow button on TikTok. So make sure you head over to that direction and type in the Jay Bird Watching podcast and have some fun.
Yeah.
So on that note, boys, we are the official podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of Fanside Network, and normal everyday sign off when Caleb Joseph vibes. 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Mr. Baseball.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go Jays, go.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.